Want to talk today, if you picked up an outline, it's titled Emotional versus Spiritual Insecurity. Before we get into this, I want to say I am not a psychologist. I did not play one on TV. To my knowledge, I do think I've stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, but not for that reason. So I am not speaking in terms as a professional psychologist, but we got to get through that to get to the spiritual part, because we all can read the Bible. There's a lot of insecurity in the world today. In fact, the world kind of breeds it. There are some in the world that want people to be insecure. There's a lot of things that take place that we see in our day-to-day lives of people, maybe even have experienced ourselves. Some of the behaviors of insecure people, sometimes it comes out as bragging, arrogance, a lot of the time. Why? Because they're insecure. The self-promoting that they do, because they're insecure. Bullies, a lot of times, are insecure. It's not so much that they necessarily believe the stuff that they're saying. It's kind of, they're trying to convince themselves in a lot of ways. Anxiety. We see a lot of people that are insecure with anxiety, fear, abnormal fear. Many times we see insecurity manifest itself in being withdrawn, the just separating themselves from people, isolating themselves, and you can be withdrawn in the midst of a crowd. The walls that are up, the almost like an armadillo, you know, the tough outer skin, but yet you're withdrawn in yourself. Now, some of the reasons that go along with that is some of it is learned behavior of what you've seen growing up. And this is just one of the things. This is not a lesson on parents and children, but I tell you, we teach our children an awful lot by our actions. And sometimes if they see that insecure behavior, that's what they learn. Just like other kinds of behavior. Sometimes people find that it's easier to be like this rather than accepting the challenge and stepping up and dealing with things. Sometimes it's easier just to withdraw and not accept the challenges to grow. I think we all understand at times of growth in our life, it's not necessarily easy. It wasn't necessarily fun. But it was required to grow. The kind of that crucible of fire that you had to go through to get better. A lot of times people just don't believe in themselves. It's hard to believe in yourselves when maybe you've experienced repeated failures. You've gotten the guts to go out on that limb, to try to do X, Y, or Z, and it didn't turn out the way you expected. Or then you'll get up the muster enough gumption to try it again. And it fails. And try to, and then pretty soon, life has a way of keeping us down. Life has a way of kicking our teeth in once in a while. And those are some of the reasons, some of why people are insecure. Are we up and running, Preston? Let's pause for station identification. Thank you. I was going to say, I wasted all those pictures for nothing. Let me get to where we are at. Behaviors, we looked at the reasons. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Paul would write in Romans 12. It's coming up, Preston, thank you. Romans 12, I tell you, Preston, thank you so much. It's so good to have somebody that knows what they're doing with stuff like this, because I have no clue. I'm like Sherlock Holmes on the first day of a case. Not a clue. Romans 12, verse 3, Paul would write, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think," and this next part of this verse is so important. If we as Christians, I'll speak for myself. If Bruce learned to do this more, how much simpler life would be. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Paul is not saying don't have good self-esteem. Keep it in perspective. You know, he's not poo-pooing away self-confidence or self-esteem, but keep it in check. Not to think of himself more highly. And that kind of goes along with that idea of the tooting your own horn and self-promotion and so forth that we had mentioned. In Proverbs 21, verse 24, it says, "A proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name, he acts with arrogant pride." Big difference in confidence of your abilities, confidence in what you can do, and this idea of arrogant pride. Big difference. We looked at some qualities, some maybe reasons of why people are insecure. The world has a way of beating people down. Failures, things not going maybe the way we expect. Message of the world that we don't measure up. I'm not tall enough. I'm not pretty enough. I don't have enough money. I'm not the right this. I'm not the right that. That everybody is telling us that we should be. They're all worldly standards that many times change with the blowing of the wind. We can't keep up. I would love to get the final assessment on eggs. Are they good for you or are they bad for you? I can't keep up. I hope they're good because I love them. From a spiritual standpoint, I do understand. I would love if if we physically and emotionally weren't insecure. But I understand there are things that happen in life that why we do get insecure in living in this day and age that we do. I get it. From a spiritual standpoint, we have absolutely no reason to be insecure spiritually. When we realize what has been done for us, you talk about a pat on the back, able to hold our head up a little higher. The confidence to maybe try that thing one more time from a spiritual point of view. Let's look at some scriptures. Proverbs 10 verse 9 says, "He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his way will become known." We used this passage a couple of weeks ago in our Sunday morning Bible class. We're looking at different lessons learned from the book of Proverbs. But if you have your integrity, not all the categories that the world says that you have to do, because I can't keep up with those. But if you walk with your integrity, you can walk securely. You can walk with your head up. You can have a safe heart that you're doing the right thing. In what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus delivers what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And in chapter 5, at the beginning of this, there's a passage there that you talk about the original counterculture. You know, those of us that were around in the 60s, that was a long time ago when we start counting decades. It was a while ago. But a lot of the things were going against the grain of what traditionally had been accepted. The 50s was that fit-in generation. Be like everybody else. But the 60s was do your own thing. Swim upstream. You know, have unique clothing. Be different from everybody else. Jesus was the original counterculture. He was saying, don't be like the world. He says in verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The world would disagree with that. He says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." We have no reason to be insecure because we will be comforted. "Blessed are the meek." This was brought up in class today, in Sunday morning Bible class. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Not nibble, not take a bite once in a while. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Big difference. A lot of persecution going on in the world. A lot of persecution that causes insecurity. You don't dress right. You don't look right. You don't have enough money in your pocket. You don't drive the right car. You don't do this or that, X, Y, or Z, that we think you should do. That's different than persecuted for righteousness' sake. It says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We might be persecuted. Just because we're a Christian doesn't mean that the others aren't poking fun at us. But blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Can't control what other people do. Somebody brought that up in class. Can't control what other people do. I think it was Michael, the lesson he always taught his daughter. Can't control what other people do. All we can control is how we react. That's all we can control. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. I'm still trying to not revile and fight back. But it says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you. From a worldly standpoint, not everybody can say that. Friends sometimes leave us. Loved ones sometimes leave us. Parents, unfortunately, sometimes abandon us. And we wonder why we're insecure sometimes. Sometimes life has a way of doing that. He himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. And one of the greatest questions we as Christians could remind ourselves of, what can man do to me? What power do they actually have over? They can say things falsely against us. They can tease us. They could take our lives. Is that all you got? From a spiritual standpoint, is that all you got? Because Christ conquered death for us. We don't have to worry about that one. What can man do to me? The passage that James read earlier in our scripture reading, this alone gives us that security and the idea that we can hold our head up high and we have no reason to feel insecure. John 3:16 and 17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, but that the world through him might be saved. That's how much love he's got for us. Not a love that sometimes friends abandon that love. Loved ones sometimes abandon that love. Sometimes even our own family members abandon that love. Not God. The Apostle Peter would write, Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. And if you ever forget that, refer back to the last scripture, that he gave his only begotten son for us. In Romans 5, Paul would write, for when we were still without strength, if I remember right, my old New American Standard Bible, this is New King James, my old American Standard, I think said, when we were still helpless. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Have absolutely no reason spiritually to be insecure. That's how much we are loved. And just a couple of verses later, and we will end up with this. Paul, in his writing, is asking a question. He knows the answer. It's a rhetorical question. And he's hoping you know the answer. Paul starts out in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That last part of verse 39. None of those can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Not everybody has that. They have access to it. Everybody has access to it. But not everybody has that in their life. You've got to be in Christ Jesus. And the question is, how do you get into Christ Jesus? We are added to his church when we are baptized. That's when we get into Christ. When we are covered by his blood through baptism. And it goes back. Spiritually, we have no reason to be insecure. The world kicks our teeth in or tries to daily. But spiritually, we have absolutely no reason to be insecure because of the love that God has demonstrated toward us. If you are a Christian, I hope this is reinforced a little bit. Maybe we can walk with a little bit higher step today, realizing there's no reason to be insecure. if you're not a Christian, if you're not in Christ, if you have not been baptized, you're not in Christ. We can accommodate you today. We can study with you. If you need prayers of the congregation, if there's sin in your life, keeping you separated from God, whatever your need, if you would come forward while Sam leads us in the invitation song, we will address your needs. Let's all stand and sing together.